Well, good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. This is our Lord's Day service. We are actually recording it for you on the Sabbath day of Saturday the 16th of May. We are hopefully into maybe our last few weeks of lockdown, but in the meantime, we will just keep going. We will just keep serving. We will just keep preaching and recording and getting it out to you any which way we can. If you're listening to this, you can go to bbcib.com. First page up should be the messages page. If you have children, I think on the Children's Holiday Bible School, there are a couple of our past year's workbooks, which would certainly keep a child entertained for a few days solid, I am sure. I aim to put the rest up. I think there's about 11 or 12. All you need is Adobe Acrobat Reader and a printer. You can print them out and give your children pencils and felt tips, and they can read stories. You read them with them and colour in and do all of the little crosswords and puzzles and this, that and the other. But amen, we're glad to have you with us. If you want the service on Facebook, just let me know and we'll add you to our Facebook group. We're having a few problems with our duplication machine, so please do pray about that. If you can get the service online, I would appreciate if you would get it that way and let me know, and that would reduce the number of CDs that we're having to burn. We're losing maybe one out of every, and sometimes two out of every duplicator run, so please do pray about that. But in the meantime, we're here. I hope you have your Bible with you and you have your hymn book with you in front of you, and a pencil or pen and a piece of paper in case you come across anything interesting. And we're glad to have your company. We're going to begin with a word of prayer and then we're going to sing a song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for life and health and strength. Lord, for the many answered prayers. Lord, please put your good hand upon us and please open our understanding this morning. I just want to mention names, Lord, and pray that you would be with these people. Pray you for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang and for answered prayers in that family, Lord. We really do thank you for them. Pray you too for John and Will. And of course for Christine and Mary Ann down there in Blackburn. Please, Lord, watch over and keep them. And I pray you, Lord, for peace and contentment to be the order of the day in your will. Remember too William and Rachel and wee Lily Ann, for Reggie and for Will's cousin as well. Lord, we have not forgotten Leonard at this time, although I think for a while we had. And pray you, Lord, for your good hand upon him. I pray you, Lord, he's maybe taken a licking, but he keeps on kicking. He's come through so much and he had to lose so much to come to know you as Saviour. Please, Lord, I pray you, be with him. And we don't forget, we Rita, Lord, she's up in her 90s and she just doesn't keep the best and she's in her bed most of the time. Please, Lord, watch over her and keep her and bless her and comfort her, help her to be content. And we do indeed thank you, Lord, for Elaine and Hilary as they tend to their mother. We don't forget Esther either, Lord, and we pray your good hand upon her. Pray you for comfort and contentment, for ease from her aches and pains, and Lord, for a measure of grace. And Lord, if it would be your will, we taste the healing there as well. And I know, Lord, her children are much upon her heart. And I pray you, Lord, that you would save those that's not saved. Please, Lord. We're not forgetting Brother Christie. Please bless and keep him, Lord, as he labours for the health service, gathering information about this, not just this current virus that's going about, but the health service in general. I pray you, Lord, for wisdom and a voice that would be heard. Please inspire him as he labours. And also, Lord, for him as he works on his PhD. Please be with Lord Taylor and bless them. Please save our dad, Terry, and our mom as well. And I pray you, Lord, most important, you would protect that and that your will would be done as regarding her travels. Remember too, Norman, Lord, and pray that you would bless and keep him and comfort him at this time. And Lord, he's getting plenty done at home. I pray you, Lord, for plenty to keep him occupied. I pray you, Lord, for the victory and the struggles that he has right now. And Lord, for those that would oppose him, Lord, in the name of selfishness and the devil, I pray you, Lord, that you would oppose them. Remember too, Lord, Pat and Steve, and I know Steve has his aches and pains, and he was telling me the other day, his leg's clearing up, Lord, and I pray you, please, that you would continue to clear that, to heal him of that, Lord, or to give him a good reaction antibiotics. You know what he needs, Lord, and I pray that you would supply it. I pray you for contact for his brother and his wife. I pray you too for Sam and Louise. And Lord, we remember Pat as well. I know she has a lot on her plate with her own aches and pains, and tending to Steve too. And I pray you for Lorna and Philip and Jessica and Thomas, for wee Holly and Emily, Lord, and of course for even weer Henry. And for her brothers and sisters, Lord, for a great salvation in that household. Please, Lord, convict and save. For Carol and John, and for Stephen, Lord, I pray you, Lord, for relief from aches and pains. I pray you, Lord, for healing. I pray you for comforting too, Lord. And if there is a need, Lord, I pray you salvation as well. Lord, we're not forgetting Maslam and Georgina and their two boys. Please save their souls, Lord. You know what they need. And please, Lord, be a help and a comfort to Maslam and Georgina as well. Remember the church in the Maboy Road. I'm just going to call out the names, Lord. You know what each one of these souls needs. And I pray you for Norman and Noel and Joan, that very first bungalow on the right. Pray for Jane and Corey, Lord. That's the next bungalow on the right. And for those folks whose names we don't know, Lord, that young family, the last bungalow on the right. Please, Lord, I pray you for salvation where required there. For Terence McLaughlin, Lord, for his salvation. Pray you too for Carol and Harry and Marie. I pray for a blessing there in those households, Lord. Remember too, Stephen and Anne-Marie, Lord, and thank you again for their kindness and their generosity in cutting the grass and helping me out again. Please, Lord, I pray you, watch over and keep them. For Henry and Evelyn, and especially for wee Isaac, Lord. For Sammy and Kate, not keeping just the best at this particular time. For Sally as well, Lord. I pray your good hand upon them. And we're not forgetting, of course, Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington. Lord, please bless these souls. Our fathers and mothers, I'm not forgetting my dad. He's the last member of the church. He gets a CD as well. Lord, I pray that you'd watch over and keep Monica's too. Oh, Lord, there are so many names. Please watch out for the folks in Derry, for all of those that have received the gospel tract or heard a portion of the scriptures preached, Lord, please keep those words in their hearts and save their souls. Lord, we just thank you for loving us and watching over us. Pray that you'd be with us throughout the service. And we ask all these things, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, now let's have a look at hymn number 41. Hymn number 41. That's what we're going to be beginning with this morning. That's in the big thick hymn book. Hymn number 41 is The Sweet By and By.
Thank you. Right.
We are going to have our Bible reading now. If you would like to take and turn with me just as soon as I find out what the... No, I didn't get a suggestion from Brother Steve. He didn't send me the text. He may have reminded me yesterday evening, but I have a head like a sieve. So, Brother Steve, sorry about that. We're going to read in Revelation 20. Revelation 20. I don't know about you, but it's always good to know that there is a happy ending to, well, to every story. They say that the best of stories and the best of films, indeed, always have a happy ending. And this one does, too, for all of those that have trusted in Christ as their Saviour. Revelation chapter 20. And you know the score by now. If it's taken you just a little bit of time longer than I'm giving you to find your Bible references or songs or just whatever, just press the pause button, and whenever you're ready, press the play button again. Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse number 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead that is dead in sins and trespasses, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book is opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. That little portion of God's word talks about the last battle, not the battle for Armageddon, but the one that takes place over 1,000 years later, after the devil being locked up for 1,000 years, God ruling on the earth for 1,000 years with all those that are saved. And then the Satan being let out, so people can make a decision. They could have global peace with a God that loved each and every one of them, or they can just follow their own hearts and their own thoughts and desires and follow Satan. Push comes to shove, he gathers everybody against God, and God calls fire down from heaven and kills them all. And then we're into the judgment seat of Christ. Not good news for all of those that are lost, because the very last verse tells us what happens regardless of what you've done. If you're not saved and your name's not in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, you're thrown into the lake of fire. Great days for the Bible-believing Christian, not so great for the soul that rejects Jesus as their Savior. Imagine a free gift being given out that will save you for the endless ages of eternity and people turning their nose up at it. You'd have to be crazy. I guess that's why it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Anyway, thank you, Brother Steve. We'll have to get our mechanism working a lot better for it the next time. Amen. Just our announcements, they haven't really changed, except to say, I think it's the end of this month, are the conditions reviewed again for opening various things. There are various procedures or operating protocols that have been put in place for international travel, like a fortnight of quarantine. If you're going to travel abroad, make sure you add an extra month to it, because 2 weeks on either end, you're going to be sat in a room by yourself twiddling your thumbs whilst you're under quarantine. But please do pray for those that have to travel and that this is going to be a necessary evil. But pray for our governments. They do need a lot of prayer. Pray for Arlene Foster, for Boris Johnson, for President Trump, for President Xi, for Vladimir Putin, for Kim Jong-un, I think he is still alive, and that's the names of all the presidents and leaders in the countries that I know, nor I need to pray for all the countries in South America, in Europe, Canada, Africa, Japan, South Korea, Australia. I am sure there are many more countries and leaders of them in the world. Please do pray that people are out not to profit each other and to be selfish, because things normally don't end well whenever that happens, but that they will stretch out a hand to help each other as and when necessary. There's a lot going on in the world. Please do be safe. I remember an old Christian, I'm sure he's gone into glory, his recipe for success was to pray like it depends on God, and that means earnest prayers, and then behave like it depends on you, and then his prayers seem to get answered, and there's a recipe for success. Anyway, please do pray for the Quigley family, for the Cousins family. Please do pray for all of those that are grieving lost loved ones. Normally we would only keep the names on the prayer list for a month, but we all know that the pain and the grief over losing a loved one just doesn't disappear in a month. We just pray for each other, and pray for your private prayer requests. Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang had prayers answered there during the week, and we're very pleased about that. We're thankful that our prayer requests do get answered. And we know that we have a God that loves us and will give us what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but certainly what we need. Is there anything else, Mrs. Bradfield? Can't think of anything else. Pray for my wife. She's doing a bit of painting around the house. I'm relegated to dishes duty. That just reminds me of a time when Faith was very little and coming to the kids' club. And Monica was able to wash her in the sink. And she asked Monica, "Am I dishes?" Oh goodness, that was a number of years ago. She wouldn't fit in there now, that's for sure. But amen. Pray for Stan and the folks up in Bangor, for Ed Bissett and the folks in Temple Patrick. There's so much to pray for. Anyway, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing another song. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again for this opportunity to come before you to offer up a wee word of prayer, Lord. Lord, we're not being lazy, and please forgive us, Father, but would you please consider all of our prayer requests for those that are grieving, for those that have lost loved ones. Please, Lord, I pray you. If they have trusted in you, Father, I pray you that you would use that relationship to comfort them and to strengthen them and to fix their eyes upon eternity. And for those, Lord, that don't know you, especially for those that have stepped off into eternity and left behind families that don't know you as Saviour, Lord, please take this as an opportunity to speak to their hearts about eternity. Lord, we've We've come through a bit of the mill of late, and I pray, you Lord, for our health service, and at least the bit that means something to me, for Dr. Doherty, for Mr. Marzouk, for Mr. Gudwani, for Ahmed, for Emma and Gemma, for Andrea and Rachel, and for Susan, Lord, and for the many other names that have slipped my mind, and old ward mates as well, Lord. Please, I pray you, Lord, please protect those that have put themselves in the path of danger to help to save lives, Lord. Please be with the postman and the delivery men that are being run into the ground, although whenever things quieten down, I'm sure they will be glad of having had the extra time. For those that still keep the shops going, Lord, for all of those that are doing their best to keep the wheels turning, albeit slowly in this country, please protect them, I pray. Please save souls. Help us, Lord, even now to be a good example and bless the remainder of our service. Love you and thank you, Father. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, let's take our hymn books. And we are going to go on to hymn number 44. If you still had your finger in the hymn book or a piece of paper in it, you're not going too far forward. Our last song is going to be 46, so we're in the 40s today. I only wish I was. Amen. Hymn number 44, will work till Jesus comes. Whenever she was little and whenever she was learning the hymns just by memory instead of by words, her first line was, O land of rest, for thee I sigh, when will the Mormons come? That is a question I'm sure many people ask from behind the curtains in their hallway, but when will the Mormons come? Amen. Right, put your hymn books away now for a little bit, and if you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22 this morning. On this, the 16th of May, we are going to take our Bible reading from verse number 1 right the way through until verse number 19. And we want to spend a little while this morning on the subject of "It Doesn't Count." Excuse me. It's not the coronavirus, don't worry. It's a wee tickle I get sometimes whenever I am singing. I like to sing quite loudly, but sometimes we can't. And I've noticed especially since coming back from hospital that my singing voice is just not as strong as it used to be. Genesis chapter 22. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. And he, that is God, said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he, that is Isaac, said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb, excuse me, for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took up the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. That is our text for this morning, our Bible reading for this morning. Verses numbers 2 and the last little bit of verse number 12 is going to be our particular text, and we're speaking on the subject of "It Doesn't Count." We're going to pray a moment and then we're going to continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for life and health and strength, for this opportunity to serve you. I pray you, Lord, this day for your good hand upon me as I bring the service. I pray you, Lord, for inspiration, excuse me, I pray you, Lord, for inspiration and for soft hearts. I pray you, Lord, that your word would find a place in the heart and mind of everyone that listens, and that would be a help and not a hindrance to me. Please, Lord, bless all those that will take and preach the full counsel of your word. Please bless those that stick upon the King James, Lord, and please open the understanding of those that don't. Be with us now, Father, and even though there's maybe not two or three gathered together in your name, maybe there's only one or two, but Lord, I pray you please that you would be with each and every soul that hears your word today. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please, Lord, be our guard. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. As I was thinking upon this message yesterday and the day before, I got to thinking, as I do so many times, of little children, as you might have noticed already from the service. And I got to thinking about the number of times we have played games with little children and just done something on them, maybe pulled a rabbit out of the hat, and you can just see their wee exasperated looks and them crying out and said, "That doesn't count! That doesn't count! You did this, this, this and this, that doesn't count!" And I got to thinking about how, you know, alike we are to little children. But I also got to thinking about this portion of God's word and all the things that don't really count in our lives and in eternity. As we begin this portion of God's word, Abraham and Sarah have born a son called Isaac. And just like God promised, and Abraham has been, as the word of God says, he's been tried by God to see if he loves God first. Now, the unfortunate thing is that before everything started to go right for them, they were doing a lot of things to push God along, and things started to go wrong. In fact, Sarah used to have a handmaid called Hagar. And because it seemed to be a while before God was making good on his word for Abraham and Sarah to have a son, Sarah thought it would be a good idea if she gave her handmaid to Abraham as his wife, and he got her pregnant, and they had a son called Ishmael. And as soon as Hagar found herself pregnant, Sarah found herself despised in her sight. In other words, she was, if you want to put it in more and younger vernacular, she was probably saying, "I'm pregnant and you're not." And she was doing things like that and making a big deal out of her being able to have children and Sarah not being able to have children. Also maybe thinking that she was going to inherit everything because she would have provided a son for Abraham. So Sarah wants her gone and indeed does get her gone, because this caused all sorts of strife. In fact, there was one notable incident whenever they were having a feast, a party. I think it might be the equivalent of a birthday party, but it was whenever Isaac was weaned. In other words, when he was big enough to look after himself, she saw his half-brother mocking him and making fun of little Isaac. And that was just the final straw. Of course, we know that I think Ishmael is given to be the father of the Muslim religion, and again, forcing God's hand, or trying to force God's hand, has caused the world a bunch of trouble ever since, with hundreds of thousands and even millions of souls stepping off into a Christless eternity because of this one mistake, this one error, this one bad decision. But I want for you to notice in verse number 2 and in verse number 12 that as God speaks to Isaac, or to Abraham, and tells him to take his son Isaac and offer him up as a burnt offering, he refers to him in this way. He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son." At the end of verse number 12, he says, God says, I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. So even though Ishmael was also Abraham's son, Isaac was the one that God counted, because he was the son of the promise. Ishmael was the son of the flesh. Isaac was the son of the spirit, of the promise of God. And this sort of thing always happens when people try to force the hand of God or to carry out God's will in their power. It always brings trouble, as we saw even not that very long ago whenever we were reading about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Whenever Lot and his two daughters were the only ones saved from Sodom and Gomorrah, and they thinking that they were going to preserve the preaching of God's word in the land, they thinking they were the only Christians left, they had committed incest with their dad and brought about two sons, Moab and Ammon, who were nothing but trouble for the children of Israel for the whole of their existence. It's interesting to note the three fathers of the Jewish faith are called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ishmael is never mentioned at all. He does not count. In the words of the title, doesn't count. As I was reading this, I got to thinking about all of the things that do count and all of the things that don't count in this world. You also have to feel a bit for Ishmael, because it's not his fault he was brought into the world and he got treated so badly. It was Abraham's and Sarah's fault for not trusting in the Lord and keeping their eyes upon him for bad decisions. But the Lord said, because you're the son of Abraham, I'm going to bless you anyway. You will be blessed. Many people like to work for what they get, and that's a good thing. The Word of God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 10, and this is Paul to the church at Thessalonica, he said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any should not work, neither should he eat. And it's a good thing to be able to get up in the morning, to do a day's work, and to feel, some pride and satisfaction in doing a day's work and reaping the rewards of it. It helps you enjoy it all the more. And now when my wife has stepped out of the room for just a moment, she was saying exactly the same thing to me this morning. She is doing a little bit of decorating in our dining room. It has been wood paneled since Pussy was a cat. And she has wanted to paint it for years and years. And I said, it's the only decent looking wood panel room in the house, and it's not too bad. But I challenged her to paint it, and she has gotten to it. She's two coats of paint on it. And whenever I asked if she wanted some help, she said that she looked forward to the satisfaction of knowing that it was her that did it. And I sort of threatened her and said, I'm going to come in with a paintbrush and I'm going to put one stroke on the wall and say technically then that I helped you with it. But it's good to be able to accomplish something. There's a feeling of pride in a good way about doing work and getting the rewards for it. It's a good principle for in life to get by with. If you want something, work for it. And God blesses those that provide and protect their families and churches. And let me tell you, it's not easy. But there's one thing in this world that is all God, and that is salvation. The book of Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The labor of love that is, that was, that continues to be the payment for sins is all God. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He also says in Ephesians 4:30, he says, to grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. It is a trinity of pillars that hold up and form our salvation, and that trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all God. The only thing that we can do in the work of salvation is provide the hell-deserving sinner, the repentant hell-deserving sinner. He, that is God, in all three persons provides a full, free, and forever and for sure salvation. So what can we do? What do we do with our lives then? Well, other than work for a living, there are some things that we just need to do. We need to get up and get washed and dressed. We need to pay our bills. We need to buy our groceries. We need to do whatever it is we do that enables us to do that day by day. But for the lost and the seeking soul that hasn't admitted to God that you're right, God, and I'm wrong, please save me. So many try to work their way to heaven. It's almost like, I think the AA has a, I'm going to call it the 12-step plan. It might be a different plan. But many people are living their lives by that, and they think that with every good deed that they do, that will be a step closer to heaven, that someday at the end of their lives, they stand at the pearly gates and God will say, you did a great job, you worked your way to heaven. But that's not it. In the words of the song, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. It doesn't work that way. None of that stuff counts for salvation because Jesus paid it all. Now a lot of people will say, well, I put money on the plate. Even though you sacrificed, as the Lord said to the scribes and Pharisees, even if you give a tenth of all you possess, even right down to your wife's spices and herb cupboards in the kitchen, even if you give, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 13, your body to be burned, it doesn't count for salvation. Should you even be faithful to your spouse, honest in your finance, diligent in your work, and a good family member, none of these things pay for heaven. None of these things count. The person that stands in front of God and says, God says, why should I let you in? And they'll say, well, God, I was faithful to my spouse. He'll say, that doesn't count for getting into heaven. He said, I raised my kids. He said, that doesn't count for getting into heaven. I helped people. I helped my neighbors. That doesn't count for getting into heaven. People will be saying, then why do? Well, because if you don't, you'll end up living in a tin shack or a run-down old house with nobody wanting anything to do with you. Good works don't get you to heaven. They're the oil that stops life squeaking. Christian, what are you going to do with your life then? What are you going to do to make sure that Jesus says to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And as he said to the man that he gave the 5 talents to and got 5 more talents, he says, you were faithful in a few things, be thou ruler over many things. When you admit to God you're right and I'm wrong and you've asked him to save your soul, none of the things that you do count for salvation, but they all do count towards pleasing God, towards building your testimony, towards making the words that trip off of your lips stickable in people's hearts and minds, because those words agree with your actions and your deeds and your life, and people are not saying, oh, he's a hypocrite, I wouldn't believe a single thing he says. God says, here's a few things that'll please me. And again, I am learning, my wife is a little bit like my dad whenever it comes to washing dishes. I am remembering a few things that she asks me to do because those things please her and I am endeavouring to do them. Just like my dad used to do. He used to say, do it the way I ask you to to please me. And I didn't know at the time that he was laying a foundation for serving the Lord, that we should do the things that he asks us to do because it pleases him. It doesn't save us, it pleases God. It's not a transactional relationship, it's a relationship based on love. We do what we can for Jesus because we love him, just like he did all that he could do for us because he loves us. So what are some of those things? Well, we could read our Bibles and find out a bit more about Jesus. The Bible's all the things in it that please God and all the things that don't please him too. Some of them are in the Bible. Some of them God's going to poke you in the shoulder and say you need to be doing that or you need to quit doing that at the right time. And they're all there if you'll listen. One of the things that God says is be in church. And I know we can't right now, but we can in the Spirit at any time. He said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. He said also to lift up your voices and make a joyful noise. Now, you don't have to be an operatic singer or have perfect pitch. He just said make a joyful noise, sing along. He also said you need to study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said you need to memorize the Bible, for whenever you hide his word in your heart, you won't sin against him. He also said you need to preach the Bible, preach the gospel to every creature. And people might say, well, how am I supposed to do that? There's so much of it. And I said, well, do it a little bit at a time, because whenever you're on the spot, God will give you the words to say. Don't you worry about that. He also said, you need to apply the Bible. He said, we need to bring our bodies under subjection and not do what we feel like, but do what God says. Those things please God. Let me tell you, if I was an artist and I painted the most beautiful of pictures and put them in an art gallery and left the art gallery open for free and nobody came in and looked at it, I would be very displeased. But if people came in and looked at them and took pictures of them, I would be very pleased. And that is exactly what God wants for us in his word. He also says you need to bring in your tithe. And people don't like talking about money, but God says people can spend plenty of money on frivolous things. Why don't you bring your tithe into my house and I will open the doors of heaven and pour out a blessing on you. We need to tell others about Jesus, preaching the gospel to every creature, and the great things that he has done for us in our salvation. We need to pray for those that go. If we can't go ourselves, we might be moms and dads, we might be children, but we might not be able to go. But we can certainly support and pray for those that do, whether it's on our own doorsteps or in a foreign country. Being faithful to your spouse is taken as a given. That's what you get married for, to forsake all others. Raising your children properly in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we're expected to do those things. God reminds us of them. And we need to keep our eyes and ears open for opportunities to serve the Lord. I know there's a few folks listening to these services that might never make it to Bethel, at least not on a regular basis, and it'll not be for lack of access, but they might never make it to Bethel. And one day as I was walking up and down, because I still have to keep moving, I'm 5 months, just January, February, March, April, May, I'm into May, I'm just coming up and 5 full months of recovery. The doctor said the most I should be trying to do is a brisk walk every day. Goodness. And I'm finding out that he was right. Those guys do actually know a bit of what they're talking about, that I'm not going to be doing 100 sit-ups hanging from a door jamb or anything like that. Walking up and down to the church, I got to thinking about the folks on the Maboy Road, all those souls that we mentioned at the start of the service, and I got to thinking, What about them? Who's going to help them? Who's going to remind them that God loves them? Who's going to remind them about the great things that God will do for anybody that asks? The saving of souls and the provision of life. I thought, you know what, if we don't do anything, nothing will change. But if we throw the gospel in there, and if we throw it in love and nurture it in prayer, well, maybe something will happen. And before I'd even done that, we had a couple ring us from Lisburn that came here way before I even came here. They knew Billy. If Billy had still been here, he would have known them. So please do pray for Maslin and Georgina. We need to tell people about Jesus. Because if we don't ever do anything for Jesus, nothing will ever change. But even then, and I don't actually know who has brought the most souls to Christ. I can't know. I know that Jesus has, the conviction of the Holy Spirit has brought all the souls to Christ. But I don't know which man, which woman in this world has been responsible or has had a hand in bringing the most souls to Jesus Christ. But even if they brought 1,000 souls or 1,000,000 souls to the foot of the cross, it still wouldn't be enough to pay for salvation. There's nothing that we can lay our hands on. There is no labor that we can set our backs to. There is no intellectual, there is no problem that we can set our intellects to that in completing them will pay for heaven. But they can please God. We do them to keep ourselves right and to show others just what having God as your Savior and friend can do for a person. God loves these things. God loves his children whenever they call out to him. God loves his children when they want to spend time with him. God loves his children when they want to learn and grow properly, just like any child does of their parents. God is interested in everything that we do, just like any good parent. And he looks at them very, very carefully. In the book of Revelation, twice, it gives a description of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. This is the picture it gives of Christ. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. In Revelation 19 and 12, just literally the previous chapter to the one we had as our Bible reading today, it says, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. Those things that we did because we loved God, lost souls, even obedience, labors, all these are gold and silver and precious stones in the sight of God Almighty. How do I know that? Because it tells us in 1 Corinthians 3 and 11. It says, For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire, that fire from Jesus' eyes, shall look at every man's work very carefully, shall try a man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is talking about the judgment of the saved person's works. So all of those things that we did that God asks us to do, those are gold and silver and precious stones. And I don't know about you, but if you have ever lit a match under a diamond, it might warm up a little bit, but it certainly doesn't change it very much. Even a bar of gold or a bar of silver, light it, throw it in the fire, and unless you stoke that fire up and do some extra work, nothing will happen to that bar of gold. Even if it melts, it's still all there. But all of those things that we do to profit ourselves, all of those things that we do to look good, to climb the corporate ladder, even in churches, all of those things, as far as God's concerned, they just don't count anymore. And there's a reason that God reminds us of this in his word. to save our time, to save our effort, to save our money, to save our lives, so that we know to be honest and genuine as we serve Him. And it's not about getting behind the pulpit, because if you knew all of the things that come with getting behind the pulpit, you would run away screaming. The Lord says, for your faithfulness and for your labours and for hanging on in there, there's a crown of life, a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, and a crown of rejoicing. They're not things to aspire to. There are things that God gives us as we mould ourselves to be more and more like Jesus. But again, not one of those things gets us closer to heaven. They don't count in salvation. They count as pleasing God after we accept Christ's salvation. They please God and they give others an opportunity to see what you can do for God and what God can do through and for you. I hope and pray that as we have had a very brief look at this portion of God's word, that you will understand by now that anything that you can lay your hand to will not save your life. It is all down to Jesus Christ. And anything else doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I got to thinking, I keep wanting to find modern day parables, but I have had this happen to me sometimes. When you go out to a restaurant, and there are two people that, when I say love each other, I don't mean romantically, but care about each other. Monica's dad, there you go. Roger, if you're listening, this is about you and me. The number of times we were going out, and then there's a bit of an insist on who pays. And I appreciate you letting me pay the number of times that you did, and I appreciate you paying whenever you did. But once the bill is paid, nobody else can pay for it. It doesn't matter who comes up after you, and it doesn't matter how much money they throw at the cashier. The bill is paid. The debt is closed. And that's what Jesus said. It is finished. Telestai, the debt is paid. Jesus paid the debt on Calvary. All you have to do is graciously accept it. Repent of your sins. Ask Him to be your Savior. Trust Him to be your Savior. That's it. All the other stuff we do in life doesn't count for salvation, but can count towards pleasing God. These things that we do after we trust in Christ as Savior, they make for a regret-free life, or as few regrets as possible. And there's a lot to be said for knowing. I'm thinking even now of Desmond's. And John Burke was my boss, and he was a good boss, and he was a good friend. When he would ask me to do something, I would take pleasure in doing it and saying, John, that's done, everything's dusted, you have no worries. And if Dennis Desmond, who was the head of the company, said, Mark, I need you to do this, you would hop, skip and jump and do it even more hurriedly. And you would be even more pleased whenever you could report back and say, Mr. Dennis, the job's done. Done and dusted, and you have no worries. How come it is we have a bit of a problem doing that whenever God asks us to do it? But to do that, and to do it whenever God asks you to do it, the satisfaction in obeying the Creator of the universe, because He took time to ask you to do something, well, do you know what? That's even more than just job satisfaction. For right now, that makes for a walk with God. Like Adam and Eve used to walk with God in the Garden of Eden, in the cool of the evening. That's the relationship that God is offering. And you can have it. For a cleaner life. More pleasing to God and us. And again, as an example, that you can live for Jesus and His principles and by His rules and to have the best of lives anywhere. A life that will count for something now and for yourself in eternity. I'm going to stop there. God bless you. Thank you for your good time. I hope that is a help to you today. If it's a reminder, let it be a reminder. God loves you and wants the best for you. So, amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn for you, and then we will be done for another day. This one is number 46, My Saviour First of All, hymn number 46. Sunday morning, Saturday evening, just whenever it is that you get to this message, we pray you have a good Lord's Day. We pray that you keep your eyes fixed upon Christ. Keep a level head. And we miss you. We look forward to whenever we can see everybody in church. But until then, God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this time. Please bless us as we part company and go our separate ways. Please see us back together in, physically or in the spirit at the next appointed time. We love you and thank you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. See you next time, folks. God bless you.